The heavens opened, and the Father declared to Jesus, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We rejoice today in hearing this historical account of the ministry of our Lord, where he is anointed for ministry at the baptism, and where there is a theophany, the Father who speaks from heaven, the Son who stands in Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit who descends in the form of a dove. And we see the beginning point of Jesus' ministry that is prepared by John the Baptist, who has called for a baptism of repentance. And here we can already gather up important information for us in our own walk, our own pilgrimage into God with God. We see the one who has gone before Christ to prepare his way, and the way that John prepares the way of the Lord is to call for repentance. So he calls, and many come. Now there are some who don't come. There are the Pharisees in Jerusalem that in their own minds have judged, in their own hearts have judged that they don't need to repent because they are righteous. So they don't come. But those who are able to see that they have done wrong according to God, they come to be cleansed in the Jordan. And this is the preparatory work that John does for the coming of Christ. We see it as fulfillment of the words that were spoken over John when he was named John by his father Zacharias. So remember when Zacharias, his tongue was loosed after the birth of John, and he confirmed that his name should be called John, which was spoken by the angel. Then he sang out the song of the Benedictus, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." So the forgiveness of sins is associated with the knowledge of God. And when a person in this life repents, that is the first thing, repent and believe the gospel. When a person first repents, then they are not turned away from God, they're turned toward God. Their sins are forgiven, they can see now, the relationship is restored. Now they taste salvation. Let us remember that in this Epiphany time. If we come into a place where we have not, our life in God is diminished, we don't feel his consolation, instead we're in a place of desolation, maybe we need to repent of our sins, make a confession. That is the way that we unburden our souls and restore right relationship with God. And then we taste again salvation, which has been given to us freely by God through Jesus Christ. So let us repent and be restored. We see that repentance leads the way to salvation. When one sinner repents, the angels of heaven rejoice. It's God's will that we repent and be forgiven. That's why Jesus came. So let us remember that in this Epiphany. So John has prepared the way of the Lord faithfully, and now Christ comes. Think about it. Historically, once there is a wave of repentance in Jerusalem and the coasts, or the parts therein, people come down to Jordan to be baptized. Once there is that repentance, then who comes? Jesus comes. And he is the Lord incarnate, the embodiment of the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus comes, and he comes to be baptized in Jordan River, even though he does not need to be baptized. Jesus doesn't need to be baptized because in him there is no sin. There is no guile in his mouth. There is no shadow of darkness in his heart. There is nothing that he has done wrong in thought, word, or deed. He is perfect human. And so why does he submit to a baptism of repentance? John indeed says, I should be baptized in thee, and acknowledges to others that he's not even worthy to stoop down and loose to Jesus and others, that he is not even worthy to undo his sandals. Well, Jesus says to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus will submit to this rite of baptism because others are being called to do it, others who are sinful. And in this way, he identifies with sinners. He identifies with you and with me who do need to be washed and cleansed, who do have shadows of darkness in their hearts and need to be refashioned and remade. So Jesus identifies with sinners, and notice how at the beginning of his ministry, He is identifying with sinners, and that will point to the fullness of how he takes upon himself the sin of the world at his crucifixion. So it's a signal to us of his saving ministry at the very beginning point. And when he does this, the Father is well pleased. Jesus, though he need not be cleansed, identifies with sinners, in obedience, is washed in Jordan, takes upon himself the same command that is upon you and me. And as he comes up out of the water, the heavens open, the Father declares, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descends and rests upon him. So here we can learn again from scriptures how we are to walk in our own Christian pilgrimage. When we obey God, we will experience blessing. The blessing follows the obedience. And so just as Jesus is obedient to the Father's will, and the blessing then comes upon him, anointing him for ministry, in the same way, when we obey the commands of God, the commands of love, then it will bring blessing. So again, we may consider in our life, is it a dry season for us? Are we not really experiencing God's blessings? Well, maybe we need to do the first thing first and obey his gracious will, to follow the commands of Christ, to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, to love our neighbor as self, which means what? To not gratify our own selfish desires, but instead to live for others, for God. Also that we might follow the command of Christ, that we would give of what has been given to us, that we would forgive others their offenses, that we would do this in remembrance of him. And in obeying what God has enjoined upon us, find that it liberates us and brings a blessing. There is nothing that God has commanded that you do or that I do that will hurt us. Indeed, it brings a blessing. It brings us liberation and freedom. So there's nothing that God would ask you to do that will hurt you. Let us instead find that when we obey Christ and the dictates of God, the Father of love, then we find blessings open up. And God can declare over us, "Thou art my beloved Son." The same way, "Thou art my beloved daughter." We will the will of God and blessings come to us. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It's there for us in the Lord's Prayer. When we do the will of God, his kingdom comes upon us and we experience a blessing. So let us think on that in this Epiphany Tide. Let us commit ourselves to the obedience of a faithful heart that will follow the commands of God who is love. We also see that in the ministry of Christ, it opens out the blessing. So he indeed enters into the baptismal rite and comes up and receives the blessing from God. And here then is the model for us, that he who has been baptized will also, in his own ministry, command that those who follow him be baptized. But note that there is a distinction to be made between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus. And John gives that instruction right away. "I baptize with water, but there comes one mightier than I who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And so John's baptism is valid for what it is. It is a baptism of repentance. And we will never say that's that always brings a blessing. Look what it did for the Ninevites at the preaching of Jonah, when they repented from the highest to the lowest, and God did not destroy their city. So repentance is always going to bring blessing. But it is different. It is limited in that it is not it's just a baptism of water and a penitential rite. What Christ will bring is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that comes after his saving ministry, when he suffers for our sake, when he dies upon the cross, is raised from the dead and ascends up into glory, and as our great high priest then sends the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes down on the day of Pentecost, an outpouring and fulfillment of the prophecies in Scripture, and the disciples are then given the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're baptized in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And that outpouring they share with others, as in that Pentecostal sermon when Peter preaches, and those who are hearing him are touched to the heart, and they repent and ask, what then shall we do? And he says, repent and be baptized. And so there were baptized and added to the church that day on Pentecost 3,000 souls. So the church, since that time, has regularly administered this baptism of Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the working out of the sacramental life of the church. And each one of us has been given that gift. We have been baptized with the Holy Spirit through the effective ministry of our great high priest, who is Jesus Christ. Now, there are some who would say that a person who is baptized as an infant needs to wait until they are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit baptism will change them. And indeed, I would like to suggest that the church teaches that there is one baptism for the remission of sins. One baptism. We believe in one baptism. And the people that have an experience of the Spirit moving in them in dramatic ways that show, you know, spiritual gifts and charisms and the fruits of the Spirit, that what they're experiencing is conversion. And the work of the Spirit that they received in baptism is now pouring out of them. So each one of us has potential for realizing the gift that God has given to us in our baptisms. And that is the exciting thing about being a Christian, is to make that discovery increasingly through our pilgrimage of how God is moving through us as we are changed into the likeness of Christ. St. Paul enumerates different kinds of ministry that are in the church in today's epistle. And he shows a distinction between them, different gifts for different people. We're not all the same. Just like the body has different parts and have different functions, the hand is not the foot, and the eye is not the liver, for example, but they all work in harmony for the good of the body. So each member of the body of Christ has different gifts that are for the edification and blessing of the whole body of Christ. Now we are to discover what those gifts are, that we can use them for the blessings of others. But recognize that St. Paul, in his teaching, especially in the Epistle to the Corinthians, his first, shows that, yes, there are different spiritual gifts, but that's not for a person to have pride about it or to see that they're better than somebody else. Instead, he says, I will show you a better way. And there are spiritual gifts that are given to each of us. Faith, hope, and love are the gifts that are given to each of us. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. If love is missing, the others count for nothing. Now, each one of us has been given the love of Christ. It is now in us by the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us in our baptisms, and then refreshed for us in the gift of the Holy Communion. Let us find that gift. Ask God for wisdom for how we can pour that out to others, and in so doing, find blessings. So in this Epiphany, let us follow the example of that is given to us in the Gospel lesson. Let us repent. Let us believe, let us obey, let us seek and find, and let us love as our Lord loves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.